Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 14. It is the Lollapalooza lip sync smackdown shenanigans, whatever you want to call it. We finally get a queen eliminated because it's just chocolate. Jasmine Kennedy is sent away. What took 3 weeks of her being in the bottom, essentially, to finally go home. But we are here to talk about everything, all of the lip syncs, the choices, and the luck that was involved here. But first, let me welcome in our wonderful panel who is here to break everything down with me. First, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I'm good. A bunch of people were convinced that this episode would also result in no one going home. And I had my phone pulled out at the bar this weekend just to be able to capture that moment. Sadly, but also gladly, that moment did not come to be. So I just have a recording of most people just being like, oh, yeah, Jasmine's out of here, which is not as exciting. But
I'm not going to lie. There was part of me that hates myself that wanted this to be a non-elimination just so I could complain about it.
Mm-hmm. But just the absurdity of it all.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I cannot relate to that.
Really? Okay, well, let me welcome in Beth Dixon. Beth, tell us your opinion on that.
Yeah, I wanted someone gone. I wanted a double elimination. I wanted
triple.
To say, you know what? Half of you are going to be gone at the end of this episode. Oh my goodness. No, but I'm happy we did get one elimination. I do think it was the right queen who went home in terms of who needed to go home at this point in the competition. But I can't wait to break down these lip syncs because this felt like some riggery here and there. So,
All right. Well, we'll definitely talk about each individual lip sync. But first, I want to get the panel's thoughts on just overall, general, the format. Like, Amon, 1 out of 10. Yeah. 1 to 10. 1 out of 10. 1 to 10. I know how
we know how you feel.
Yeah. Wow. Liana's really panning it.
No. Scale of 1 to 10. What would you give this episode?
I feel like I probably had a little, well, okay, hold on.
Yeah, take your time. Think about it. Beth, I'm going to ask this question to you as well, because I will say it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. So I don't know if it was like a low expectations thing going into it that I was like, oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you exactly why it wasn't as low of an expectation. It has nothing to do with the format, has nothing to do with the queens or the commentary or anything. Has 100% everything to do
with, who went
with the cinematography of this episode. The camera angles? Are we kidding? If they don't win Emmy for this episode in particular for cinematography, everything is lost. I'm going to guess it was Sarge behind the camera. Sarge, you killed it. Wintergreen, you knew the angles. You knew exactly what to get. There's that one shot of Lady Camden and Bosco that is just so beautiful. The people keep using it over and over and over. I swear to God, I honestly think that the lip syncs were so good because the camera work was incredible.
Okay.
So because of that, I'm going to give this episode a 7 out of 10.
Okay, like technical movie TV nerd coming in with so much cinematography, not something I would have thought of. All right, well, Amon, you've had a chance to think about it. What would you say?
I think I'll go ahead and give it probably a little bit less, maybe like a 6.5-ish out of 10. Definitely, it was fun. I had a great time. The thing that, and I guess it really isn't the episode's problem as much as it was just like a viewing and network experience problem. Just so many damn commercials. It was commercial after commercial after commercial. It kept taking me out of it. I was like, come on, let's just get to it. Yeah. It's just lip syncs. You all know what's going to happen. Just show us the lip syncs. So that was sort of annoying. However, I did enjoy all of the song choices. Mm-hmm. I did not think that I would hear. I mean, we are rediscovering more and more as more time that passes after Luther Vandross's passing, just how much of a queen he really was.
Uh-huh.
In the best way possible. So, you know, of course, have some representation here in the music, but I still just did not expect to hear that particular song of all Luther Vandross songs. On Drag Race, I just felt like I was at a cookout or at like one of my family reunions. I was like, "What is going on here?" But yeah, so the song choices were great. Some of the lip syncs, I mean, I feel like they weren't memorable, but that's sort of the problem when you cram a bunch of lip syncs into one episode. They all sort of like blend together at one point. There were a few standout moments. But I do think that this episode was really just much to do about nothing just to send Jasmine home when she should have been at home before. So that's kind of where the marks come from, the marks against it come from.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think I probably fall in the 5-6 range ultimately. I think because to me there were a lot of positives, but there were also a lot of negatives. The way that I was thinking, maybe this time they won't cut to commercial each time.
You sweet summer child.
So optimistic at times. And I do think there were moments. I think Lady Camden in the Bosco, her versus Bosco lip sync. Oh my God, to see the versatility from her. I was like, okay, I am renewed in my fandom of Lady Camden. So definitely there were those moments that I think made it, you know, were memorable. But I think that, on, you know, there have been episodes, regular episodes of the show that have been worse, and there have been regular episodes of the show that have been better. So for me, that's what sort of places it in the middle there. And you know, I think, you know, part of it also was that the diversity of the song choices was not what I expected. I was very happy that it was not 5 RuPaul songs. So
could you imagine?
Yeah.
Peanut butter, Sissy That Walk.
That was All-Stars 4, right? When he did all of that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying with low expectations. Like I was 100% because it was the Lollapalooza SmackDown, which I know everything is real, right? That's the whole point. But like in my mind, that's what I thought was going to happen. So to have, it was what? Yeah. Luther Vandross, like you mentioned, Aretha Franklin, En Vogue, Beyonce, and J-Lo, and then Diana Ross. So I was like, okay, I can get behind this eclectic, but you know, fabulous list of song choices. So
when Beyonce appears, I'm always just like, wow.
I want you to know, Aman, as soon as I saw that radio was a choice, I was like, oh, Aman is going to be flipping out in the best of ways.
I just can't believe it. She has been so stingy with her catalog for so long, which you know is completely her right. Protect your craft, protect your artistry. But every time her stuff appears on something, I'm like, wow, she's really getting very nice up in her 40s, I guess.
It was great though. I sat back and I was like, this lip sync better be it, or else Aman's gonna have a 15-minute soapbox.
Yeah,
on Sunday where we're
cannot be having Beyonce on there and having it be some. But you know, the word on the street, I won't say it on the podcast because I don't want to spoil it. But the word on the street is that there's another one coming up from Beyonce. That's the rumor on the street. I'm really excited about this one.
Okay, well, we'll put that on the back burner for now and get to it when we get to it. Let's talk about the structure quickly before we jump into the individual lip syncs. So the way that this worked is that we had 7 queens. So it was so funny because in the end of last week's episode, the queens were actually confused about how it was going to work. So I felt very seen, like we were also confused because there were 7. And so essentially we had we had 3 rounds, I guess, if you want to call it. And so the queens were chosen initially by random. So it was the balls in the hopper. Then that queen who was chosen got to pick her opponent, but then her opponent got to pick the song choice. So Beth, what did you think about the way that this was structured?
I thought it made sense. It actually follows a lot of what we're used to for the final four, where somebody gets to choose, you know, they don't normally know the titles of the songs. I mean, they know what the choices likely will be half the time. Normally it's like, would you like box A or box B? That kind of thing. So I thought this made a lot of sense. It's in a format that seems similar, but I also do think that, you know, with 7 queens, it made the drag math a little easier to follow as well. And then we did have that 3-person lip sync in the first round, which made sense as well, with 2 people having to still stay, which also drag mathematically made sense. So I thought the structure was fine. I thought it made a lot of sense. And before, I think, was it All Stars that you tried to go as far as you could in the lip sync? Yeah, what we just had with Silky. When she was lip syncing like from a week to week basis and that kind of thing, that was like you wanted to stay into it. So it was kind of cool to see it the opposite way, which was, no, you wanted to be safe and not have to lip sync anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that it was a format that we're familiar with, but also it was new at the same time. I thought it worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
Do we often hear RuPaul refer to individual pit crew members by name?
No, but I want it known. I want Calyx. Yeah. That sounded like it was straight from the Hunger Games. Every single time, every single Calyx. And I was like, oh my gosh, is that like one of like,
I know,
you know, I just felt like we were in the Capitol. And then everybody's like all dressed up like they would be in the Capitol. You know what I mean? It just, it felt very Hunger Games. This whole episode did.
Definitely must be one of RuPaul's favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got and didn't have shoes, of course. I don't know. Somehow that also fits with like the Hunger Games.
You know, poor Calyx, because from what I understand, the stage is like very cold. Like everything is really cold. So imagine just being in your underwear that entire time and not even having, you know, shoes on.
I like imagine that he's got a robe and little slippies that he just like goes in when he doesn't have to pull the ball. Yeah. You know? So
that's a statement right there. Pull the ball.
the queens all have those robes backstage. So I imagine that, you know, the pit crew have them as well, but. All right. So let's talk about this. Let's jump in to our first lip sync. So Jasmine is selected via ball from the hopper from our Hunger Games tribute. Yeah. And Jasmine selects Daya, and Daya selects the song Respect by Aretha Franklin, which I think if you are Daya going up against Jasmine Kennedy, the dancing queen, I think that Daya definitely made the right call, Amon.
Definitely. I mean, you want to level it out as much as possible. Level out the playing field. And definitely the right choice, because I thought that maybe Jasmine would have like caught on to what Daya was trying to go for here. But I think ultimately there was still a lot of like rolling and twirling, and like that's a lot of energy for Aretha, sis. Like Aretha does not do all of that. So yeah, I think Daya definitely made the right decision. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
I never thought about pounding my pussy into the floor with RESPECT, but you know what? I after seeing that, I realize why I haven't thought of that. It was just so not the right tone. It felt a lot like Kenya Michaels, you know, versus Latrice in that situation with Natural Woman. I thought that Daya did a good job. I do think that she more than won because she was emoting. Mm-hmm. But it is funny when the queen, I have to imagine that the queens had to know what the choices of the song could be, not, because I'm sure that they're given the iPod with here's all the potential lip sync songs for the entire season. And then I'm sure that they chose out of all of those catalogs for this. Right. Cause it would have been weird if they're like, hope you know the song, hit it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just, as I was sitting there and I was like, there's no way I could have done Luther Vandross, for example, like that's not something I would have been able to like, just know off the top of my head, but Respect, I came out and I was like, okay, Daya's got this, but the look was so off. her 2006 emo, patched, moment. I was like, this is such a look for Respect, but I'm here for it. So I don't know. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, Puya came into the room at that one point when he saw her and was like, why is she dressed like a raw girl from 2006? Like, look. Can't explain that one. Yeah, Jasmine is clearly a sort of one type of lip sync performer. That's what I've learned from her four times in the bottom or three times in the bottom plus this. It's like, and that's where I think I have so much respect for Lady Camden, who is the one I think who displayed it the most clearly. Not that the other queens weren't capable of it and didn't change, but Lady Camden had two very different songs and was able to augment and change to meet the emotion and the tone of and the nature of the song. And Jasmine was just like completely unable to do that. And so I thought that it was pretty obvious that she had lost here.
Hey, that is not true. In the last lip sync song, she quote unquote went campy.
It looked exactly the same. It did. There was
also
like,
who chooses Diana Ross to choose your camp moments?
Campy.
Yeah, it's I said this before on the podcast. I think after the second time that she was in the bottom, I was like, all right, it's looking mighty much the same, girl. I'm not really sure how much you're going to be able to save yourself with this. Like, it's one thing to have like a lip syncer that is clearly great at all, like it's a jack of all trades when it comes to lip syncing. I would begrudgingly probably put what's his face? What is her name from season 10?
Cameron Michaels?
Yes, Cameron Michaels. As much as she was in the bottom, she definitely brought something special to each lip sync. And I was like, oh my gosh, just send her home already. But she made it so hard for RuPaul to want to do that. But with Jasmine, it's a lot of the pound in the pussy. How many times are you going to pound it, girl?
It's a lot of like this, like flipping your hair back like this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we get, No.
And
no.
I feel like it
her
was
her Alyssa
like,
Edwards hair.
Yeah. Like, narratively speaking, it was so great too. Like Dia Betty was like demanding the respect from not only the judges, but like from Jasmine herself and like stepping in front of her on stage, like, oh no, you're going to listen to me this time, girl. Like,
that's right.
So I just think that it worked in her favor. It worked for the storyline. It worked in the lip sync. Like if you got production and the lip sync on your side, it's like, I mean, that's just the recipe for disasters.
Yeah.
Like, you did the wrong. It was the wrong thing to do, Jasmine. You set yourself up on that one.
Yeah, right. Like, that was an easy decision for the producers there, I think. Okay, so Dia Betty wins. She goes to join Deja in the workroom, who Deja, just to note, of course, is safe from last week because she was the only one who did well in Snatch Game, apparently. Mm-hmm. So they are now in the workroom and they get to watch the rest of the lip syncs. So Willow is the next queen to be selected via ball draw? I guess, whatever.
Balls.
And
balls.
Willow's logic here to pick Bosco is that she wants a queen because now she knows. She knows that the opponent that she selects will be the one who's in charge of the song choice. Mm-hmm. So she thinks, okay, what queen is going to pick the song that I want to lip sync to? Which I think is just so smart.
So smart.
I'm obsessed with Willow so hard. And this just really solidified that for me. So she goes with Bosco. Bosco does indeed select the song that she wants, which is the Luther Vandross song, Never Too Much. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately leads to a Willow victory here, Beth.
Yeah, honestly, we always on this podcast, specifically with All Stars, talk about how much we want the queens to play the game. I now want Willow to play Big Brother. Like, I would love to see Willow just like run circles around people when it comes to like outsmarting strategy and such, because this was brilliant. This was some Shangela in season 3 saying that she wanted country or whatever so bad. Oh, yeah. So that Carmen would give her the genre of music to do. Like, this was big brain plays and I loved it. I think that this was really smart for Willow too, because as we learned from Willow ahead of time, you know, this, she's not one that's just going to go on the stage and like, you know, dance and all that kind of stuff. She's going to go and put on a really interesting, more emotive kind of performance. Right. And so when you looked at the songs, like, you're not going to do that to radio. You're not going to do that to Love Don't Cost a Thing. Like, you're going to have to really think about. So I thought she could either do the En Vogue song or she could go Luther Vandross immediately when I was looking at the list of songs. And so I think that even if it had gone the En Vogue way, I think she would have done well, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing I think that's interesting about this lip sync was to talk about Bosco, because I think Willow was obviously like very in the zone, very much knew what she wanted to do. This is going to sound so mean, but like Bosco's movements are just so not smooth. Mm-mm. I feel like Bosco reminds me, like, she's so, maybe it's because she's so skinny. There's something just like very like about her movement. It wasn't until the very last lip sync where I felt like she actually had a little bit of, and maybe it's because she was in her head. Like, I don't know. Cause it just like, it felt awkward.
Yeah. It just wasn't fluid. It's just, she doesn't have like a groove to her. And that, I mean,
groove.
Never Too Much is like really not. I mean, I think she kind of did what Jasmine did with Respect. It was just like, this is not the type of song for you to be the showgirl. This is really about like being in the jam. Like, dun, 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 dun. Like, it's very, you got to sit in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that Willow definitely definitely sat in the groove a lot more than she did. I still worry a little bit about Willow because this is a great song to do that, which she did, but like, eventually there will be a more showy number that you have to do. And I'm like, well, Willow, like you kind of lucked out this time.
Right.
But in the finale, if you make it to the finale and you're supposed to do like a lip sync for your life type deal, what then, girl? So maybe, you know, maybe she's, you know, revving up to it. She doesn't want to. And she's already mentioned how she doesn't like to show how competitive she is. Maybe this is all part of her plan where she's like, I'm not going to give you everything. It's like, this was like the opening look version of her lip sync, or the lip sync version of her opening look. And so she's going to come back out on stage in the finale and just give it to us.
Yeah.
I agree. I think even though Willow wasn't like, I don't think that Willow slayed this house down boots. I don't think she did that at all, but I definitely think that she sold the number much more effectively than Bosco did. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So then this is the last lip sync of the first round. Angeria, Georges, and Lady Camden are left. So all three of them are going to lip sync against one another. And the way that the song choice is that it is a ball pull to see which queen is going to pick the song. Georges ends up getting to select the song. And so, shocking to most of the queens in Untucked, she picks Radio by Beyoncé, which I didn't think was that much of a shocking choice. But
they're like, she's going to choose J-Lo. She looks like J-Lo. And I was just like, are we almost bordering on a microaggression here? Like, she's like,
but she does love J-Lo though, right?
She does.
Like
she does.
Part of
That was what was funny. They were like, oh yeah, she's Latin. She's going to choose the Latin one. But even though she does do the gym, it was just funny. So when they said Radio, they're like, oh, it's so shocking. I was like, it's not. It's a high energy song. Yeah. She's a high energy performer. That's actually the one I thought she'd do. I don't know.
You could have done either or. Like, yeah, it really didn't matter.
It would have been what would have been a shock is if she was like, yeah, let's do En Vogue.
Right.
What?
Yeah. That would have been a choice. No. So they do Beyonce. And I will say the three-person lip syncs are very difficult to watch. Yeah. I mean, Beth, the cinematography expert over here, I will say I was personally overstimulated. But how do you think they handled the three-person lip sync?
So what was difficult with the three-person one is because all three were doing the most, that it's hard to like have for a song like that. Now, imagine if they had done the Luther Vandross song that like slowed down, it would have been much easier. But when you have a high octane kind of lip sync going on, you have three incredible performers. It's like impossible. So, yeah, it was definitely overstimulating. But even with like the wide shots and the angled shots that they had, I still got to see what was going on. Lady Camden seemed to be really out of that lip sync to me. Like while she was doing a good job, it seemed like she wasn't fully in it to me. Like you could tell that she was like, what should I do now? Whereas I felt like Angeria and Georges were really strong in it. With Georges for me also being the clear winner of that. She just kind of commanded the stage wherever she was. Like my eyes went to where she was, even though I had like, in Lady Camden's own words, a pink skunk in front of me. And I also had Angeria, you know, trying to get in front of people and such too. So it was a chaotic lip sync. I also love how many threesome jokes they made. I love threesomes, but this is the first time I'm doing it on stage. I was like, okay. You better work.
Well, Amon, did this do Beyonce justice for you?
It was fine. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean Georges does what Georges does. I don't think that this was like slayage. But I think part of that is because of the fact that it was sort of hard to like look at all three of them at the same time, just like trying to, you know. It was clear to me that the producers were trying, or the editors rather, were trying to show the highlights of each one of their lip syncs, because there was a cool thing that Lady Camden did towards like the bridge, and there was a cool thing that Georges did kind of pretty much all throughout, and then every time that Angeria would like do like a dip or something like that, or like go down onto the ground, they were trying to show everybody at their best moment. So I think that worked, but I think it was hard to judge. So I'll take the words for it that Georges won.
I kind of feel the same way. I was like, I have no clue. I feel like probably not Lady Camden just based on the editing, but like they could have given it to anybody and I would have been like, yeah, I'm sure that's justified. Just because I thought that all of them did fabulous. Angeria really impressed me as well. I think mostly because we've never seen her in that type of performative context before. Whereas Lady Camden, we have seen lip sync for the win and we've seen Georgia's lip sync before as well. So that was kind of exciting. So I almost like part of just shock wanted to give it to Angeria of like, oh wow, like this is so fun. I love this.
Oh darn, we'd have to see Georgia's lip sync again.
So Georgia's wins here. They might have, just to see her lip sync. RuPaul loves to see her lip sync. So the other Georgia's thing is the punching the ghost. I love that he got
to the Georgia's. Do the Georgia's. Do the Georgia's.
So now next time I'm at the club, I think I'm going to do the punching the ghost.
The other moment from this lip sync that didn't happen is when you had the one dip, two dip, and then it gets the Lady Cameron. They're like, she didn't do it. But some of the commentary from the queens were killing me, especially now that you still now you have like solidly three queens in the back. You have Daya, Willow, and Deja. So that's it. Also, I just side note, poor Deja had to get up in drags to do not a damn thing. I would have just sat there with my robe and my slippers and my drinks and been enjoying the show.
I like was hoping that they would do that for her. They would like have like her set up in the workroom all by herself, all sorts of drinks, maybe some hors d'oeuvres or something, a pit crew member fanning her. Like, I would have lived for that.
That would have been amazing. Now, I will say this portion, though. She did mention a little too many times. So she was like, oh, must suck, DB. I didn't have to wait. All of us? I'm not a part of it. Like, it got to a point where I was like, okay, it's getting a lot, Deja.
I think there was one mention in, like a few mentions in Untucked where it was like, we get it. Like, you can be happy, but at the same time, like, shut the hell up.
I did like the summer. It was like, normally it'd be annoying, but you know, it's Deja. She has been working hard, so whatever.
And she was robbed once before, so
I'll true. Give her. She should have had two wins in a row.
All right. So it is the end of the first round. Georgia's is safe. So she is able to go back into the workroom to watch the rest of the lip syncs. And we're moving on to round two. So the Fates pick Lady Camden as the first lip syncer for round two. And Lady Camden picks Bosco. And Bosco then picks En Vogue, Don't Let Go. So, Beth, I don't know why I was like shocked by this, but also I guess not. I think she saw Bosco lip sync the first round and was like, I'm going to pick Bosco for the second round.
I think
round.
She's also looking at the song choices still up there, right? So similar, we don't get the outward strategy that Willow had, but I think if you are trying to decide which lip sync you're going to do, between J-Lo and Vogue, I think you're probably thinking Bosco's more likely to do En Vogue. And that if you chose Angeria or Jasmine was definitely going to choose Love Don't Cost a Thing, right? So like, I think you just have to play the game of like, who's going to play the song that you're wanting to do? And she just, she literally just finished a higher energy one and was probably looking to emote more. So that was, maybe I'm giving her way too much credit, but I don't think so. She comes across to me as somebody who thinks about this kind of stuff. So I think that's what the thought process is. And I think the bonus was that she felt like Bosco might be in her head. And you could tell that she felt bad about choosing her. And I think she also potentially wanted to do a little shadiness of like making Angeria and Jasmine, who clearly have this close relationship, like have to lip sync against each other, too. So,
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I liked that Lady Camden was like, I look like Sonic the Hedgehog's bitch girlfriend.
I was dying at that because she did.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, I don't know about you, Iman, but for me, I think Lady Camden's performance here was probably one of my favorite of the whole night. I just felt like she totally got the assignment and just totally fell into the rhythm of the song.
I think so, too. I think she really, really did not want to go home. And I felt all of that, like in that performance. And just like sort of like seeing her like sort of break down when she gets into the workroom later on, I was like, oh yeah, like you, this put the fear of God in a lot of these queens, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of nice sometimes to see them really, 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 really push for it. And I think, I think once again, I guess Bosco just does not have a groove quite yet. Like it's still, it's just not there. It was definitely better. I think I agree with you, Liana. She gets better as the night goes on. Mm-hmm. But I think that Lady Camden really just took one over on this one.
What I'm gathering about Bosco is that she's somebody who's, we keep hearing in her head or whatever like that. And I think that that can mean so many things. I think that she's somebody who's very type A and likes to have things planned out. So when she has, even if she knows she's about to do an improv challenge, she has a sense of what she's going to be doing. This was so much of a high pressure, not knowing what's going to happen situation with things that were out of her control, that I think that that really messed up her ability to feel confident in the moment. Mm-hmm. I think that that was her biggest issue for this, because clearly when she gets to the last lip sync, okay, now there's no mystery left. You either stay in the competition or you don't go out there and do the damn thing. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like she's somebody that when it's a do or die situation also helps her, but knowing that, oh, there's still the safety net of yet another lip sync underneath you, that mixed up with not having a lot of confidence, it's a recipe for not really getting into the feeling of the song.
Yeah,
that's definitely possible, because it was still a little sharp and awkward, the movements here for the song, which again is something that you really need to just sit in the song. So but look, I felt like the last lip sync, we all know Bosco versus Jasmine. I was like, this is going one of two ways. I was like, either Bosco is getting sent home, but it has the gold chocolate bar, or Jasmine is actually going home. And based on the fact that Jasmine was clearly crying in the confessionals, I was like, oh, okay, so Jasmine goes home. So I didn't feel like so nervous for Bosco, because I did feel like it would be such a shame to lose her here from this episode. So at least I don't have to like deal with that feeling. So
I did think it was funny the moment where the queens were like, why is she crying, talking to Jasmine, because she was walking to the back of the stage. And in my head, I was going, she's probably crying because she realizes now it's like hit her. She's like Kato in the Hunger Games, where it's hit him like, oh, this is all for entertainment, just for my demise to happen here. And it's like, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So the final lip sync is Angeria versus Jasmine Kennedy. So Lady Camden wins. OK, we got that. Bosco's going into the final lip sync. But the last lip sync of the second round is Angeria versus Jasmine. And it was that cut, because it was the cut right before commercials, where you see Diabetti being, why is she crying? And I was like, I know exactly what she's talking about based on that tone. I was like, she's talking about Jasmine Kennedy, and it's not even a question.
I know. There's not a she would never say that about Angeria.
Yeah,
never.
Not Bosco.
And she's definitely not going to say that about Bosco. So we all been knew it was going to be about
Jasmine. I like, look, I think that Diabetti is hilarious. I know that people are like sort of like, oh my gosh, she's so rude, she's like always complaining. I was like, I don't think that anything that she has said has been wrong so far. Like, you're in the competition. It's been eight queens in the competition for 3,000 years. Like, mm-hmm. it's time to send somebody home. And mm-hmm. I also understand, I mean, the whole, like, argument about, like, no offense. Like, Jasmine's like, oh, why do you say no offense when you're about to offend somebody? It's like, I don't think that what she said was offensive. What she said was a fact. And she said no offense because she wasn't trying to be, like, bitch, you're in the bottom. She wasn't trying to say, like, you know, she wasn't trying to rub it in. She was just saying, like, look, I'm frustrated because there have been queens such as yourself, no offense, that have mm-hmm. been in the bottom, and it's frustrating that you're still here and you're getting effectively another shot. And I'm kind of worried that, you know, once that shot is over, that means that the rest of us won't get that again. And so, like, it's just frustrating. And I
think that my point for this, though, is, girl, you got a shot already. Like, Daya already came back into the competition. So, like, it's so funny for her to be frustrated about. Like, I understand why she's frustrated. Don't get me wrong. But I'm also like, you remember when you went home in the first episode and were given the chance to come back? And effectively, you were that person that came back and, like, made the numbers lessened again. Yeah. So let's do that. But I also think, for me, I'm totally with you, Iman. I actually don't have that big of an issue with Diabetti. I had more of an issue with her in this episode before the lip syncing and such began, with how she was going after Jasmine. I just think it's sometimes the way in which she's saying things. And I love and appreciate people who just say what's on their mind. Because I think that that's really important. We have a lot of us, I'm horrible at saying what's on my mind. Because I always want to make sure it's crafted in a way that's not going to offend other people. So there's something that's nice about that. But I do think that there's a way to go about it. Like, even the way that in the tone that you just said it, Aman, was infinitely better than the way she's going, I'm upset because no one's going home, and no offense, you're the reason, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, that is inherently different of a tone than what you just did. And if she had done it with your tone, it would have been infinitely better. But the point is that she comes across like, I'm complaining because you're still here and you should have gone home, is like how that comes across.
I mean, like we said, the more and more that the queens react to this, the more and more the producers are going to do it. Yes, like,
exactly.
We saw this, we've been seeing it every season so far. I think it started back in season 10 when they had the double Shantae with, I think it was like Cameron and Eureka, and Aquaria was just like, what the fuck? And then Deja O'Hara had to get in her ass about it. Like, oh, yeah. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Cause like, so like, it's reality TV goal to have
totally
these, put them through the ringer, thinking that someone's going to go and then no one ever goes. So, and now that this season is probably going to be 16 episodes because VH1 is going to get their ad dollars if they're, you know, if it's the last thing that they do, probably going to happen next year. So season 14 or season 15, 16, get over it now. Like, just get over it now.
I can't wait for the 20 queens that are going to be on the 32 episode season of season 15.
Just ingratiate yourself so much to the judges so that you can just make sure that you are the queen that benefits from it if it happens to you.
Exactly. Yeah, make yourself a storyline. Fight with somebody, okay? Ideally a front runner. Okay.
Oh, speaking of somebody that could come back, that we were joking could like potentially benefit from like breaking their leg. Apparently Cornbread's not coming back next season.
Yes, I saw that.
So I don't know 100% what the deal is because I saw sort of multiple things on this. So the first tweet that I saw was that it was her saying that it wasn't her choice.
Right.
And then I saw an article that was like, she's choosing to focus on her transition. So I don't know what the truth is there about why she's not coming back. But the speculation on the street that I've heard is that the contract that she signed is not with Voss Entertainment, which is the World of Wonder entertainment company, whereas all the other queens signed with Voss, apparently. So I don't know if like that's related to it, but that seems to be at least one of the theories. But yeah, I mean, like Aman mentioned, it seems like Cornbread will not be back on season 15 or I think the next All-Stars. Yeah. So
We already know that the next All-Stars is all winners. So it's like,
whatever. Well, yeah.
So like a Voss contract that the queens would have to sign after the season though, right? Like it seems weird that that would be a requirement to get on the show and she didn't do it and she still ended up on the show.
Yeah,
so like, is it like a thing? Is it like a pipeline thing where like all the queens automatically when they get off the show, they sign the contract saying I will participate in like these Voss events if I happen to be like a popular queen from the show so that Voss can make all of this money while Wonder can make all these money off these queens. And if you choose to opt out, then that sort of like affects your standing and coming back.
So I think what it also has to do with, too, is that every single one of the queens from season 14 is going on tour for the season 14 tour. And it's a Voss tour. I think that, but this is relatively new. I think that it's like out of the pandemic because traditionally there were like two or three different kinds of managements that you would go to if you were a drag queen, right? With Voss being one of the bigger event ones that you could be signed with. And normally it was with like, is it PEG or something like that that normally worked with Voss? Because I think his name is Brandon Voss, who runs Voss Entertainment. So Voss, I don't think, did any signing of queens. I think that they just partnered with PEG, who did like a lot of the Drag Race girls stuff. And so like you either did them or you did like Murray and Peter or whatever. And I think that there's just been so many issues with Murray and Peter. This is all my speculation. I don't know. There's been so many issues with Murray and Peter, both in terms of treating the queens well and like issues with the audiences and like all that kind of stuff, that I think that they just were like, we're going to streamline over here. And I'm assuming Voss probably partnered with World of Wonder, which makes sense from a business decision, but also just streamlines profits again. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. I have a hard time believing that's the only reason. I have to assume, I wonder if she broke something in her contract. Like, that's probably what I'm thinking.
I mean, now it makes much more sense why they didn't, like, why there was not, like, a thing from Rue saying, you have an open invitation to come back. Right. Like, they just kind of glossed right over it. So, also, I guess it's finally just, you know, coming to light now.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I'm hoping that ultimately this is the best decision for her, right? Yeah. I mean, clearly it seemed like she had at least some agency in making the decision. So I think that there's a reason why she didn't do what she did, right? So I'm like, I'm going to give benefit of the doubt to the situation that this is, right. Although I'm sad that we won't see her back on Drag Race, I'm hoping that this is ultimately the best decision for her. So like, okay,
yes,
I will learn to be at peace with that. So,
and she's going to be in that drag version of Hocus Pocus, playing. So Ginger Minge is going to be their names are all coming out of my head. So, Kimora Hall is the Sarah Jessica Parker character. I think she's the Kathy. Is it Kathy Najimy? Or how do you say her last name? Najimy?
I forget her name.
Kathy Najimy. So I think she's that role. And then Ginger Minge is the Bette Midler role. So why can't I think of their names? This is because it's March.
Ginger Minge joins Hocus Pocus 2 as the drag version of Bette Midler. Winifred Sanderson is the
Sanderson sister. See, this is it's because it's March and it's not Hocus Pocus season. That's why I'm not able to.
You know, as much of a Disney person as I am, I saw Hocus Pocus for the first time like Halloween season 2 years ago.
Really?
I saw it for the first time 4 years ago.
And I was like, spoiler alert with me, but it's been out for a long time, so whatever. When they kill the little girl at the beginning, I was like, oh, shit. This is dark.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I'm like shocked my parents let me watch as a kid. Now, like as an adult thinking about it, I'm like,
I also like the whole idea that they're like a virgin has to light the kid. I'm like, they're kids. this is the moment right here.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All right. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Lots of things. Cornbread, Hocus Pocus, lip syncs. Yes. Okay. Less where were sync. We? So, all right. Well, let's quickly talk about Angeria versus Jasmine. This is the second to last lip sync. Love Don't Cost a Thing by JLo. Jasmine is like missing words.
Jasmine missed words, but I don't understand the praise that the queens were saying for Angeria though. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was
fine.
It was fine.
Yeah. They were like, oh, she's really owning the stage. I'm like, she looked timid to me in comparison to the energy that Jasmine was giving. Like, it didn't even emote like that the way that I would want her to. I just kind of, it was weird. It was just, I guess at the end of the day, do you go for the person who knew all the words, but killed it in every other way? Or do you go for the person who, I don't know. For me, it was a 50-50 toss up.
Yeah, I think so too. It felt like, okay, we're not going to send Angeria home. We refuse to do so. We're going to send Jasmine back to the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, then why didn't you just eliminate her last week?
Yeah.
I will say, if she had gotten all the words, I think that there's no way Angeria would have won that.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you can't rig it when the queens just like kill it. You know what I mean? You still can't because we've seen it happen before, but.
Editing.
Yeah.
But it was funny because it was almost like when Daya Betty was like, I don't know, you gotta give props to Jasmine. I was like, Jasmine's losing. Like, I don't know why in my head those two things equated.
Think about it this way, right? Are they really about to put the two-time winners in the bottom two?
Yeah.
No.
Like, or the chocolate bar comes into play, which that was also part of, I mean, I thought that that was a legitimate possibility. That's why when I was thinking, even when it was Bosco versus Jasmine, and I was like, well, if Bosco's in the bottom, I'm telling you that is a golden chocolate bar. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that doesn't end up happening because Angeria wins.
Still here. Oh,
I know. It's okay, Amon. We'll get through this together. All right, final lip sync. Bosco versus Jasmine. Diana Ross swept away. I felt like this is where Bosco really fell into her moment. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Jasmine did the same thing that she was kind of plagued with the whole night. And Beth, as you mentioned, the whole, I'm going to go campy on this. Okay.
A choice.
What? But also, it like, it was like, if you're going to do camp, go full camp. But also, why would you go camp to Diana Ross? It was just like multiple things that just kind of
but also work. I don't think that she realized that her camp didn't even look any different than like
that's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly.
Oh man.
So yeah,
Bosco was sexy though. I was like when she did that one move with her legs like up in the air and like the I was like
ideal thing. Yeah,
I was like, can you do that again? And then like do it again, but it, like in even slower motion. And then will you do it like a third time? I was like, there were so many moves. The one move we didn't talk about, which Daya gives her props for in the Angeria Jasmine lip sync, is that one where she's like a perfectly like bent over and then does like this like hip thrust thing that I was like impressed with that by Jasmine as well. But I don't know. I will say, this lip sync altogether, I felt like both Jasmine and Bosco did a good job. Bosco definitely edged out, but
I think it's probably the best one. I dare say. So yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, especially for both queens to perform, you know, gag boots the house down. Like I did feel like this was the one that kind of, which was great. I mean, for the last lip sync of the night, and also, you know, there was no song choice. It was just the song that was assigned to them. So I felt like this was kind of a great culmination of the night. And, you know,
yeah,
like, yeah, Jasmine did a great job, but like, I was so ready to see her.
I know.
That's so mean.
You sound like every girl in the Untucked. Where they're like, you know what? We're all sad, but we're not. We're not sad Jasmine's gone because it was her time. Like, I just like how everyone's just like, all right, it's gone. Bye. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. It was time. And she overstayed the welcome.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Because this is her track record. Okay. Safe, 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 safe. Cool. Bottom, safe. Bottom, 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 eliminated.
Yeah.
It was time, you know?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Take her on out to pasture.
Bosco was just so sexy, though. Even when she was like lying on the ground, like I was like fully crushing on Bosco at this lip sync. I just like Bosco, if you're listening, holy shit, girl, that was hot.
I like how she reused her nun outfit, also.
Yes,
queen of recycling.
Yeah, sustainability.
Okay, that does it. We did it. We got through the lip sync Lollapalooza SmackDown extravaganza. We finally had a queen go home in the month of March. So we can now say that a queen has gone home. And it seems like next week we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming with, I believe, a Rusical. From what I can tell, it is the Moulin Rouge, which I love Moulin Rouge. That Baz Luhrmann, like his whole trilogy is like a just outstanding. Strictly Ballroom, Romeo plus Juliet, and Moulin Rouge. So I am getting my hopes up way too high, and I'm ready to be disappointed next week. But all right, I think that does it for us. Amon, Beth, is there anything else you guys want to address from this episode before we close things out?
Nope, I'm just waiting on that chocolate bar or that golden bar. That's all I'm waiting on at this point. See what happens.
Oh man.
Yup. Yup.
I hope it's next week so we can say in the month of March only one queen went home.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. So, oh my God. Yeah, you're right. So next week, the 25th, that is the last episode of Drag Race in the month of March. So if that happens, one queen will have gone home in the whole month. All right. Well, no offense, but I hope that happens. Okay. Let's get out of here. So, Amon, what do you have going on and where can people find you on social media?
You can follow me everywhere at Amon Adwin, over at RHAP, covering BB Can 10. Still got the choir room with Malagori. And that's it for now.
All right. And Beth, what about you?
You can catch me at AugustaWind11 on all my social medias. I'm also still doing Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zahner and my weekly meltdown with Allison Kelly and Tyler Lyons.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about The Masked Singer with Booya. Just covered episode 2. So that is a whole mess in and of itself. And of course, doing the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom, we had guest Jordan Kalish join us to talk about everything with the fun phrases and played some really fun games, including one all about Survivor misconnections. So I highly recommend you check that out if you're a Survivor fan. All right. So if you are a Drag Race fan, you can leave your ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. Go to robhaswebsite.com/Drag Race to do that. We really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And thank you, Scott, for all your help behind the scenes getting this podcast put together. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.